I think you might notice a little bit of a different voice right now leading you off. That is because I, Yehuda, the original guest star.
You're not a guest. You're one of us. We have to be switching our whole name because of you.
Don't give away our secrets.
You knew, like, the Ravens need one touchdown. Like, the Broncos might score one more field. So you get one more touchdown.
You went 10-9.
You can win 10-9.
I'm going to go with the Commanders as well, just because it's too much of a question mark over there on the center for the
I can't even believe you saw that right now. I don't believe
that's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got
you're
the
crazy.
Full package. He's
no
got
way.
The speed.
I don't care. No way. I can't even. It's hard to even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
Okay, welcome everyone. Dummies for Sports Ooh. Back in business. Here we go. Yeah. I was at the game last night. Chargers, Ravens, SoFi Stadium. My first time at SoFi was quite an experience. Very cool. Ravens got the W. But something I wanted to discuss, did any of you guys see Alabama's Hail Mary over the weekend?
That was crazy.
I mean,
Hail Mary, but yeah, sure, I did see it.
That was, I mean, it was like essentially hell. It was just nuts. I didn't even know about it till last night. I saw something on ESPN, and I saw like the reaction to the commentators to Alabama's crazy comeback. And I watched the highlights. I'm like, this piques my interest. I mean, that Iron Bowl seems to produce some of the craziest game finishes to a game that we have ever seen. It's not even like Auburn and Alabama most years are closely competitive. It's most of the time Auburn's got like 6 or 7 wins, and Alabama's one of the best teams in the nation. And they still produce these crazy games. I'm not such a big college football guy, but what's going on behind that? Why are those games always so close and so crazy? I don't really get it.
Listen, it's rivalry week. It's the last week of college football season. These games, sometimes, listen, last year, I think it was 2 years ago, Alabama beat Auburn by like 50, 60 points. Some years you're going to, but these games are meant to be close. If you look around the rest of college football, some of these rivals were blowouts. So, but yes, these games somehow it's like the March Madness of like somehow it doesn't matter what your rank, how bad you were all year. It could be the number one team. You could be your Georgia State playing a Georgia, and you're just going to put up a fight. And you're like, what? Or Georgia Tech or one of these teams. Like they put up these fights against Georgia, and you're like, it's not supposed to be that way, but it happens during rivalry week.
It's us versus them week always. No matter, like you said, no matter your ranking. No matter how good you are all year, it's different that week.
Yeah, that's why FSU had struggled to beat Florida. So that, you know, another great example of that. But crazy weekend in college football this coming up weekend with all the conference championships. But we'll stick with professional football for now, as fun as college football is. So week 12 is in the books in the NFL. 12 weeks, that means we got 6 weeks left, 5 games for every team left. And we want to present our 5 biggest takeaways from week 12. There was some crazy stuff. Some crazy games came down to the wire. There was the Texans-Jaguars. It was a big game. Texans could have swept the Jaguars. Bills-Eagles was a really fun game to watch. That almost overrided into Sunday Night Football. It was like 5:07 Pacific time here, so 8:07 your guys' time. So that was really almost came into the Sunday Night Football. That was very cool to watch. So here's our 5 biggest takeaways from Week 12, and we'll kick it off with you, Yehuda. What you got?
Well, we get drunk. Well, I guess... Throw that in there. I love that. Okay, keeping it feisty, keeping me on my toes. I apologize if my voice, the dulcet tones of my voice are not as they are. I currently have COVID, so
feel better.
Thank you. Appreciate
feel better
it.
You. But, yeah.
Where else would I rather be if I was sick than doing a podcast with others for sports? So I got to say, going back to Thursday, watching the 49ers. I know the Seahawks are not as good as. We can tell they're not as good as their record once shows, even though now they have a losing record. But the Niners are unbeatable when they are all healthy, when they're all playing together, when they get on a roll. They are such a juggernaut. And as a Ravens fan, I do believe the biggest competition in the AFC is the Ravens, so maybe a little biased, obviously. But it is very scary to watch the 49ers play. I'm so excited to watch them play the Eagles next week. That is going to be incredible game, but they lead the league in EPA per drop back. They have a top 4 or 5 EPA in rushing plays. Like Brock Purdy is just so efficient. You can say whatever you want about him, but he is a very, very solid to above average game manager who is just in such a good scheme that these dudes are just running wide open every play, and he just makes the throws when they're there. They lead the league in DVOA in offense. Like they're so good, and it is going to be very hard for people to beat them. And I cannot wait to see the Twitter war between the Eagles and the Niners this week. It's going to be amazing. All the Eagles fans will be like, "Oh, we beat you last year in the NFC Championship," but like this is so clearly not the same Eagles team that we will get to. We will discuss, but their pass defense is so much worse that I don't see the Eagles winning this game, but. That's why they play the games, but I'm just so impressed with the Niners.
I don't know. I think I literally just have it written down here that the reason why I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. I don't think it's close, actually. I think the hunger that the Eagles show that they play with, there's not a play goes by. Every snap, every play, you can see it in their coaches' faces. You can see the Jalen Hurts touchdowns. It's like this whole – it's the vibe of the team. The fans are a mashuga. They're crazy. And the players feed into that. But the players feed into it because of the fan base. And that is because it's part of their job as being an Eagle is you have to feed into your fan base a little bit so that they get a little hype. But watching them play, watching Jalen Hurts, the fact that they lost last year, the way they play – they're so darn hungry to win it all. They want it so badly. I don't think anyone plays this as hard as they do. I think they really care every little detail, every little thing. So I think the Eagles are just far and wide the best team. Now, they do get this great matchup coming up, and don't get me wrong, I'm very excited for it. And can they lose? Yeah, but that's once again, we always say this, like any given Sunday, it doesn't prove that you're better than them or whatever. Now, if the 49ers pull them out and pick them apart and smear them to smithereens, yes, we can have a conversation, but I don't believe anyone is playing like the Eagles are playing in how hungry. Yes, there are holes, but every team has holes.
As Emmett Smith once famously said, they call Philly the city of brotherly love. There ain't no love in Philly. He did not like playing in that stadium. He did not like playing in that stadium at all. I'm going to stick with Thursday. It was obviously a while ago, Thanksgiving in the morning. Jordan Love is heating up a little bit, guys. In the last 3 weeks, Jordan Love has 9 big-time throws. It's third in the league. 82% adjusted completion percentage against the Lions. I mean, it was probably his best game of the season, but just in general, the last 3 or 4 games, he really has been heating up. Beginning of the season, we were sort of looking at the Packers. They don't really have a lot of playmakers. Jordan Love is this question mark, and they really started off slow. It didn't look like they're getting anything going. All of a sudden, Christian Watson's come alive. The playmakers have come alive. Jordan Love has come alive. They're 5-6. They can contend for a playoff spot all of a sudden. They're an intriguing team to watch down the stretch here, and I've been very impressed with Jordan Love as of late, and I'll be intrigued to see if he can continue to perform at that level.
Yeah, it would not be fair if they were able to go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. I started seeing these stats about their comparable stats to, in Rodgers' first 20 games of his career and Jordan Love's stats. And like, if they hit again on a quarterback, that it can be a franchise quarterback for them, that would just, that wouldn't be fair for the rest of the league. But I got to say, I was impressed with Jordan Love, but one team that I'm starting to lose faith in is the Browns. I mean, they were starting DTR.
What'd you say there, Meisty? I think I heard a birdie. Little birdie.
Their injuries are starting to mount. I mean, they lost their starting quarterback of the year. We know this already. But then their second rounder, or their second stringer, who is only playing because their other second stringer was like the worst quarterback in football, in PJ Walker, he gets knocked out with a concussion, and so now PJ Walker has to come in. Like, they lost Amari Cooper, they lost a safety for the year. Miles Garrett got hurt, his arm was missing. They said that he's day to day, so it should be okay. But like, their team is getting beat up. They are on the downward spiral, and that loss to the Broncos was actually surprisingly huge for playoff contention and for wild card positioning. So I would be very nervous if I was a Browns fan and watching that amazing defense be, I think it was 77 Falcons or 78 Falcons, I don't know, was their, like, the best team, the best, like, yards per...
What's with your sound effects today, Meisty? All those sound effects coming out of Meisty's computer, out of the phone, whichever one it is.
This defense for the Falcons are an amazing, amazing defense, but they're also so bad.
Partisan commission to stop this injustice of crime.
Yes.
Jim Wagner cannot play on the Cleveland Browns. Jim, come back. You have so much to need for more.
Jim Wagner!
We need you, Jim.
Yeah, I agree. I genuinely, it's possible. It's possible though. Joe Flacco might be starting for the Browns. Like, it's so bad in offense, and like, you can tell this city is like kind of cursed sports wise.
No, I definitely agree with you on that one. Another team I'm losing faith in, but I'm like hanging on for dear life on them because like I have this silent faith in them. It's the Bills, okay? And everyone's kind of lost faith in the Bills, and everyone can downplay the Bills, but they're losing. And Rocky, we always talk about this. Vikings last year had the ball bounce their way. Teams get the Bills are the team that the ball never bounces their way, never goes their way. Things never go the right way for the Bills. It's like, but they're always in involved in the big game. So get to the playoffs. You have, okay, so you play the Chiefs, you play the Cowboys, Chargers, Patriots, Dolphins. Find a way into the playoffs, figure it out, and I believe the Bills in the playoffs are a real, people are like, oh, but the Bills have this hole and that hole. I don't care. Every big game and every moment, they are there. It just never goes their way. But in the playoffs, it's anything can happen. But get to the playoffs in the Bills. But I am losing so much faith in the Bills, as much as I say, just get to the playoffs for them.
Yeah, no, it's the old cliche, you know, it's like nobody wants to play this team that's just going to sneak into the playoffs, and that's certainly the Bills this year, right? Before the season, we were talking about them as Super Bowl contenders, and this is the year they need to go all out and win the Super Bowl, and Von Miller needs to stay healthy and all that, and it just hasn't bounced their way this year, and realistically, 6-6 is a tough spot to be in. I mean, they really need to win at least three games down the stretch here, at least.
I'm saying on top of that, for that they have to be hot to go into the playoffs. Them getting hot going into the playoffs... That's what you don't want.
No, that's true. It's true. And like you mentioned, the entire schedule, they got a bunch of tough games down the stretch. So it's not going to be easy to pull off three. Even if they need four, I mean, it's going to be very tough. So we'll see what happens over there. I want to go back to Thursday. Again, stay back there. So, you know, I put out an infamous YouTube short in the offseason about Trayvon Diggs and his high rating in the NFL's top 100. top 100 list, because I said, you know, he gives up a lot of big plays. Granted, he's got a lot of interceptions. He gives up a lot of big plays, and he's a little overrated. Deron Bland is a completely different story. This is not just a guy that has 5 pick sixes and 7 interceptions, which on the surface is just an incredible, ridiculous number. It's the record for the most pick sixes in a year. But his coverage numbers this year, guys, are ridiculous. He's allowing just a 36.9 passer rating when he's being targeted. He's only allowing 52% of his completions, of his passes toward being targeted him to be completed. He hasn't allowed a single completion of 30 yards or more. Trayvon Diggs, that year that he had the 11 interceptions, gave up plays of 30 plus yards in 13 of his 17 games. Deron Bland hasn't allowed one. Not one. Only allowed 350 yards total on the air. Total. I mean, this guy's a fifth-round pick. I don't know where he's come from. He has little, and the only reason he's starting is because Trayvon Diggs got injured. That's the only reason he's had this opportunity, and he's looked miles better than Trayvon Diggs. He's making the big plays that Trayvon Diggs made, plus not giving up the big plays that Trayvon Diggs allowed. I mean, and this is a big part why the Cowboys are really dominating this year. Stephon Gilmore has been underrated because of Bland sort of, you know, overshadowing him. But this man has been on absolute fire, and I am just incredibly impressed by what he's been able to do.
5 pick sixes through 12 weeks. Like, that's the NFL record without even, playing an entire month of the season, and he already broke the record. Is incredible. And he, fifth rounder, like, a second year guy. Like, that's incredible how good he's playing this year. And that he, you know, it's next man up, and this man like stepped in and filled in so nicely for a guy who I know you may think is overrated, but he's still like all pro level corner. So it's incredible what Bland has been able to do. But going from one team that does look amazing to a whole division of teams that I think I do not enjoy watching. I love football so much. I love the art form of this game, and I love the fact that we have 11 men in colored shirts wearing helmets flying around, throwing their bodies around. Like, it's just so awesome. I sit down for an entire Sunday for 10 and a half hours watching them. The NFC South makes me question my love for football. I love Bijan. He's on my fantasy team with me and Feist just made a trade. Chris Olave.
I can't even be Bijan? Damn.
Yeah, I know, right? I picked him, right? Got him. But, like, this division is so boring. And, like, I've seen good teams and I see amazing things that the sport can create. And I just watch this atrocious fight to the bottom, you know, fight for ineptitude. Watching the Bucks lose to the Colts, which, you know, they're a surprising team, but whatever. You know, the Bucks have been losing all their games. The Falcons and the Saints are fighting for first place, and they're like 5-6. And I'm like, come on. Like, and the Panthers, right? We don't even need to talk about the Panthers. They fired their whole coach and coaching staff and head coach. And, like, this division is just so bad. And it's like, we've seen this in 2014 when the Panthers won the division with a losing record and then lost in the first round. But, like, this is the most obvious mediocre average team to get blown out by the Cowboys in the first round. Like, we saw it last year with Tom Brady. And now we're going to watch it with Desmond Ridder at quarterback or Derek Carr at quarterback. Like, can we just skip that? Can we just skip the divisional round and skip the wild card round and skip this whole division? Like,
well, that's where upsets come in.
Yeah, well, you know, any given Sunday, but like.
But I'll keep it in the South. I'll keep it in the South. But on the AFC side, I think that entire AFC South has shocked, I think, the NFL. I mean, if you are a fan, you did not see the Colts doing what they're doing. Even though, like, even if you're a big Anthony, I knew Anthony Richardson would be him, or I knew this certain Gardner Minshew, or this, whoever even their quarterback is these days, you thought he would be him, right? And you thought that they had this and had that. We did not expect this from the Colts, and we did not expect this from the Texans and the Titans. I mean, we kind of saw this a little bit from the Titans, but even the Titans are, I think they have more wins already than I thought they would. So, but on top of it all, there's the Jaguars, who started off very slow, and they were along the Bengals, and everyone's like, question mark, question mark, question mark. Obviously, the Bengals never really recovered, but here we are, the Jaguars. They put themselves now at the 8-3 spot. Big gap now between them and the Colts and the Texans. I think the Jaguars are the best team in their – I mean, in a very interesting division where still – I think it still can come down to – a couple of close games, and it's such an interesting division. I love that, like you're saying, the NFC South is just like this atrocious division, while like the AFC South is like trying to figure it out, but they're good. They're almost there. They're good, just not there yet. But they will be, some of those teams will be in the playoffs, and that should be somewhat exciting.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing to think that the Chargers have the second to worst division in the AFC, the second to worst record of the AFC. I mean, that's how competitive this conference is. It's really remarkable. Even the AFC South, which was a lower echelon division, is really competitive this year. So I'm going to stick right there with the AFC South. Focus on the Texans a little bit. I mean, is Tank Dell the best rookie receiver in the league this year, guys? I think that's really the question we have to start asking ourselves, right? You could say Jordan Addison, but I tried to look up a few numbers this year and compare him to some of the other rookies. Zay Flowers doesn't quite have the numbers he has, but he's a little more shifty. But he has a 14.4 average depth of target, which is third best amongst rookies. And C.J. Stroud's very interesting. So the C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell connection has been very, very strong this year. C.J. Stroud, when targeting Tank Dell, has a pass rating of 115.2. So a rookie receiver, rookie quarterback, to have that strong of a connection, I mean, it's a really encouraging sign. And for a rookie receiver to make the game so easy for a rookie quarterback like that, I've just been very impressed with him. He's top five in almost every single number in terms of rookie receivers and yards per route run. He's 13th best in the league when it comes to receiving grade. 13th best receiving grade in the league. That's amongst all players. So that means, you know, just if you just go based on receiving grade, he's top 15 receiver in the league this year, right next to his teammate Nico Collins. So honestly, like, yes, you can point out the entire Texans roster, and there's a lot to look out there. Like, if you want to have a takeaway, this is not necessarily the week to do it because the Texans lost. But that's what I'm trying to focus more on. This Tank Dell did not slow down this week. He's been really, really good this year. That receiving core, just in general, has just been, really been exceeding expectations as a team in all and as a division. You made a good point. All you guys made a good point. I mean, the division really has just really exceeded expectations. Who would have thought that you know, we'd be sitting here and the AFC South might have the second best collective record as a division this year, right? So yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It's crazy. And by the way, I don't know why I saw this today, but I think they played most of their division games already happened. Something like that. Like, I think the Jaguars, for example, only have the Titans. Yes, I'm looking now. They only have the Titans left. Like, everyone else is playing a lot of division games. They have just the Titans left to play in their division. They've played out their division already. So, like, that's pretty crazy going down the stretch that the Jaguars, for example. I have to look into that. I just saw the report, and I happen to have the Jaguars schedule pulled up. So I was like, oh, let me look at that to confirm that. So I have it confirmed from the Jaguars. But, like, they've played front heavy. The AFC South played a front heavy matchup for themselves.
Well, Houston.
By the way, the Bears are winning tonight. Mark it. Josh Dobbs doesn't beat the Bears. The Bears.
The Pass for not. The Colts have or the Texans still have Titans twice and the Colts, so they still have three divisional games left. But let's go from one division of really good football and talk about some even better football.
The, yes, sir.
The game that I was subjected to.
Yeah, here we go.
No, that is good football. But here we go. But we go. The game that we were all subjected to yesterday that was, you know, blissful on my eyeballs. Giants, Patriots.
Oy vey.
That was prime. That was peak football at its best. 14 combined punts. What is it?
What is
eight
this? Big Ten football?
For 27. Eight for 27 on third down. Three picks by the Patriots.
But can I stop you there for a second? You know what I was thinking? When I was watching this game, I was thinking, and to think that 15 years ago, this was the best game in NFL history. Right? Like, we were growing up watching the Giants-Patriots. This is like, right? Yeah. This was like this was the marquee matchup. Giants-Patriots, Eli always beats Brady. You know, Kryptonite. We're sitting here now, like, this is the worst game of the NFL season.
Yes, it was.
By the way, good. Screw that fan base. Screw that.
The NFL.
Time to suffer.
Spoken like a true fan, right? That's what I say with my Patriots fan when I watch football with him. I say, now you know how the rest of us feel, okay?
No, we never felt like this. We have never, ever, Yehuda, we have never in our lives, never really in our...
Listen.
Our lives had to feel the atrocity that the Patriots put out every week. It's atrocious. I don't know if they practice. I don't think they ever practice all week. I don't think they go over film game plan. I think Bill Belichick just comes out there and just coaches them like kids on the weekend, bro, because they suck. They are so bad. It is so bad. Dude, it's so bad to watch. It's so, like, the Giants just have so many injuries piled up on top of one another, and they just have bad luck, and they play on turf, and they don't have a good fan base because their fans are trash. But, like, at least they have Tommy DeVito, like, throwing up his fingers, and everyone's enjoying it. But, like, the Patriots, they don't have injuries. They're
awful. Yes.
Like, they're not even in rebuild mode. They're just no mode.
I hear that, but I see your point, and I raise you 2007 Ravens before Flacco, when they lost to the 0-13, 0-14 Miami Dolphins. So
yes, injuries.
Okay. But either way, my main point about this amazing game of football was the Giants, they won the battle, but they lost the war. And Bill Belichick 1,000% told their kicker to miss that, because now the freaking New York Giants, right? They are the worst team, according to DVOA. They're worse than the Panthers. That's how bad they are. They are the worst team about the teams that talk about the worst, and they just beat the Patriots. Like, Bill Belichick, if he makes it, right, to next year, because anytime you lose this bad, like they always talk about, oh, is he done? Is he over? I still think he can walk into Robert Kraft's office and be like, just give me Drake May or Caleb Williams, whoever we get, and I will turn this around. And so, obviously, one guy doesn't turn it around, but to have your quarterback for the future, you already see what's happening in Houston and okay. how much their prospects are turned up. And I mean, maybe the Giants will go with their quarterback of the future, Tommy DeVito.
Beat me to the Tommy DeVito take. Ugh. Tommy DeVito.
I don't know.
Bake that one.
The Patriots, they can reload. They could be reload. I would be a little scared if I was in the AFC and they got one of these guys.
No, I don't know. Does Bill Belichick, we're not going to downplay the Bill Belichick. He's a great coach and all that, but you see him out there. He has no patience for the garbage that's going on out there today's game. He has no patience for it. I've been saying this for a while. Like, just go into the general manager position and just stay there. Just you'll sit in the booth.
That's what he's not good at.
That's what he's not good at.
He can coach.
But let him try to focus 100% on that and see if he can be better at that. Maybe he could be good at that and people help. Also, he's respected, so people, like, if he's walking into a GM meeting, people are going to respect the Bill Belichick in the meeting, right?
That's why I say turn it around and have him just focus on the coaching and get...
No, because he has no... You see him out there, he has... Dude, he has his own son coaching alongside him. Like, he has no patience for none of it. He just wants people to listen to him, and he's old school. And, I mean, we're nothing against it. It could work, but it's clearly not working. It hasn't worked in a couple years. But talking about turning it around, the 1-5 Broncos, ladies and gentlemen, are currently 6-5, okay? And, oh, my goodness gracious, because we sat here. I don't know if it was even on podcast, but I sat around tables. I sat around on couches and offices around the city. Just disgusting.
Offices around the city?
The atrocity of the Denver Broncos when they lost to the Dolphins. I mean, we sat here and we bashed them. We were like, I bashed them. I'll call myself out. Screw me. I said... that Sean Payton's old school football smashed in his face. You know, welcome to the new league, Mike McDaniels. I mean, Russell Wilson Russell Wilson looks like MVP Russell Wilson right now. Not that he is in the MVP talks. Don't push it. But he is playing currently like he played an MVP Russell Wilson year. The defense is still really good. I mean, they are a team that if you want to talk about a team that really can do damage and by the way, the Chiefs are beatable.
The
Broncos literally beat them. What?
The Broncos literally beat them.
Literally. But they crushed them, too. But they have one of the toughest schedules, in my opinion. Not that the Chargers are a hard team to beat, but, the Texans, Chargers twice, Lions, Patriots, and Raiders. None of those guys – obviously, the Patriots should be simple, but, those are not – none of those games are going to be easy for them. If the Broncos find their way into the playoffs, give me the Broncos. They're going to play – they might end up playing the Chiefs in the round one. That would be mucho grand bueno. Taylor Swift can cry on the sideline for all I care at that point. Let the Broncos spoil it all. But I'm not hopping on the Broncos train because that would be very embarrassing. I can't Stephen A. Smith double cross, crisscross. But I do have to mention the Broncos' incredible run.
Yeah, if you tell NFL,
Iraq's excited. Iraq, he's like, I got something to say.
NFL karma would have it that the Broncos would play the Dolphins in the playoffs and then beat them. Amen. Matter how much, just beat them, right? After what happened earlier in the season, because that was sort of like a low point for the Broncos, and then it's been up from there. But I wouldn't quite go as far as to say Russell Wilson's in the MVP conversation. I don't think he's been playing that well, but I think he's been creeping back toward...
No, I think he's playing MVP form.
But I think he's been creeping back toward a top 10 quarterback. That's what I'd give him, okay? He has 18 big-time throws, 11th in the league. He's third in the league in adjusted completion percentage. And I think he probably has the most ridiculous touchdown passes these last few weeks in terms of, the amount of space there is between the receiver's foot/leg and the out-of-bounds marker. I mean, has anyone else been seeing this? It's just crazy. Every Broncos touchdown the last few weeks seems to make no sense. everything's like, you know, right, whether it's Cortland, I mean, it's like on the surface, you're like, both those touchdowns, on the surface, like, no chance he got both his feet in. Then you look closer, and you're like, oh, that's very close, maybe. And then you look even closer, and you're like, oh, he got it in. Oh, that's crazy. That was a completed pass. That was a touchdown. You're like, both those passes. So Russell Wilson definitely wins the award for craziest and closest touchdown passes of the season, but he's creeping back toward being a top 10 quarterback in the league. I'm not totally scared of them. I still don't think the defense is that good. I think it's a little overrated. But I think they've been getting better. They've been getting progressively better throughout the season. They're a slightly above average team now. Listen, before the season, we were coming in, and their over-under projected win total was 8.5. And we all said they could either win 8 or 9. That's pretty much where we were all falling on the spectrum. We said, well, we both lean toward 8. But we said it could either be 8 or 9. It'll be around that range. And that's where it's looking to land. So yes, maybe the trajectory was surprising as a result of them starting 1-5. But ultimately, them being 6-5 after 11 games, not all that surprising, guys.
Okay. Go ahead. I think though the way they're playing, there's no reason why they can't finish off very, very, very strong and finish better than what we project. That's where I think, that's why I bring them up. If I thought, yes, I would agree with you that 11 games, 6-5 is exactly where we would put them. Correct. But the fact is, they could be better than the 6-5. They're currently better than a 6-5 Broncos team. They're currently playing like a 6-2 Broncos team. You know what I'm saying? They haven't lost now in a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? So go back to when things started turning around for them and be like, oh, pinpoint that and be like, whatever changed that moment, whether it was the Dolphins beating them or whether it was the next game where like they started like running it the ball more or whatever it was.
So you're saying,
yeah, had a bunch.
Right? So you're saying, even
though
they're 6-5, they're yeah, right. They're playing better than a 6-5 team.
I think they could finish 10-11 wins.
I mean
whatever it is, 9-10 wins, they could sweep.
They have three division games left: Chargers twice, Raiders, they have Lions, and Texans.
That's what I'm saying. Watch out. Listen, I spoke to somebody, and he's like, the Broncos are never going to beat the Vikings. I mean, he's a Vikings fan. Obviously, he's a fan. But, you know, he was like, and I was like, and if they do? And he was like, oh, call me if they do. Oh, I called him at like 1:30 in the morning.
I know who you spoke. I know who it was.
The Broncos won.
I know who it was. There's only one Vikings fan in Baltimore. Exactly who it was.
And I'm like, no! But,
listen, they have three straight road games. And if you told me that week 13 Broncos Texans was going to be humongous for AFC wildcard positioning, like, I would have thought you were nuts. For sure.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's so crazy what the Broncos are holding. It's just, it boggles my mind that the Broncos are playing a much better game than they started. I mean,
it also helps AFC playoff picture is wide open now, right? I mean, the Bills are 6-6, have a worse record than the Broncos right now. The Chargers are 4-7, so that all that helps. You know what I'm saying? Now the Broncos have really put, and they just beat the Browns, who are a game ahead of them. So the Broncos are in a good position to make the playoffs.
On the topic of the Broncos, when they beat the Packers, and the Packers, that was when also the Packers started flipping things around. So the Packers Broncos game that we were joking about when they were like 2-5, and I think they were both at that point. The Packers at the time were 2-4, and the Broncos were 2-5. We were like, oh, what a garbage game. If you look at that game was now, you'd be like, wow.
Big game, baby, right?
This is Sunday night. Give me Tony Romo on that game. Like, it would really be, it's so crazy. The Broncos are playing really well, and so are the Packers.
So week to week league.
Yes. Yeah,
it's week to week. It's really week to week right now, and the NFL is, I think, probably one of the best. Baseball gave us a really good, regular season, and football is giving us a really, really good regular season right
competitive,
now.
Competitive. Very competitive. I think we did four, right? We're up to our fifth now.
Yeah, last one. We're finishing them off. Rita, what do you have for us?
I think I wanted to hear what you guys had to say.
I'll hit it with this. My one last thing I saw this week. John Harbaugh does not have to go, but he has to be on the hot seat of like, hey, John. Someone has to sit him down and be like, hey, John, this is the best team you're going to get right now for probably the next couple of years. Like, you're not going to get much better. That, yes, can they draft? Can they add? Can they switch out this? Can they switch? Can they go sign DeAndre Hopkins or Devante Adams? Sure, sure. Anything crazy can happen, sure. And their defense, sure. And they can go sign some safety or cornerback, sure. But right now, with this team, the way they're playing, and the players they have, the healthy players that we currently have, you have to deliver me more than just, oh, we made it to the AFC Championship game, or and then we got blown out. Like, unless we lose a heartbreaker in the AFC Championship game, I need to see us in the Super Bowl, and we don't lose Super Bowl, so I'm okay there. So that's fine. But right. You have to deliver. He has to deliver a playoff run this year for us. Or he has to be on the hot seat.
Yeah, completely agree. I couldn't have said it better myself.
No, I mean, I don't think it's I don't necessarily agree, because the Ravens have a lot of players on rookie contracts right now. You think about their best players right now. Kyle Hamilton, by the way, an absolute stud this year, and the way they use, I mean, he's breaking up plays in the backfield. He's covering linebackers one-on-one like a glue. I mean, it's just unbelievable. He's an open field tackle. He's blitzing. He's with one of the best blitzing safeties in the league this year. So it's really, he's just been an all-around absolute monster. I mean, Brandon Stevens has come alive. Geno Stone has come alive. I mean, they've really gotten talent from nowhere. And all these guys are young guys. You know, most of their top players, Roquan Smith, got another 4 years in their contract. So most of the core players are on rookie or long contracts. They're going to be there for a while. Zay Flowers, Lamar Jackson, obviously, Tyler Linderbaum, Mark Andrews, all going to be there for at least another 3 years. All those guys that just listed. So at the end of the day, their core is going to be there for a little while. But I guess it would be concerning if the Ravens, you know, fail to win another playoff game again here, you know, because then it starts to be like, well, they've had one of the best teams in football for the last 5-6 years, and they just haven't been able to go get over that hump. And this might be the best team they've had in the Lamar Jackson era. I would go as far as to say that. Certainly if Mark Andrews was still healthy. I mean, this probably is the best team they've had in the Lamar Jackson era. So it would be a little concerning. I don't think maybe Harbaugh might be on the hot seat just because he's been the coach for so long, and maybe you need to change a pace. I don't think it's because Harbaugh's doing anything wrong. I think it's just, you know, might be his time's done there. I think that's really what it comes down to. Like a Belichick type of thing, too. Like, is Belichick a bad coach? No, obviously not. But it might just be his time. You know what I'm saying? I think that's more what it is, Harbaugh. But I don't think it's pressure on him to win or else you're fired. It'll be like a resigning type of thing. I don't think it'll be a firing, you know?
Rocky, is it Mike Tomlin's time?
So that's another. Oh, okay. So that's the last point I was going to hit on here about the Steelers. I mean, listen. The question is, was it Matt Canada's time? That's really the real question. So did Matt Canada leaving really make that big a difference? Because I tell you what's interesting with the Steelers. It's not like there aren't plays to be there, right? Right. First play of the game, Pat Freiermuth over the middle of the field. They targeted Freiermuth like 10 or 11 times. He had like 9 receptions in this game, right? I mean, Freiermuth is a very good weapon in the middle of the field that they did not utilize, even when he was healthy the entire year. George Pickens, for some reason, and you could explain this to me, for some reason they only think George Pickens is good for back shoulder fades. Like, you can't put him in the slot and just let him run routes? No. Just let him do back shoulder fades. That's all he's good for. What? But there was a whole playbook that was missing there. You have playmakers here. Deontay Johnson has to run after the football when it's on the ground, that's for sure. All those guys have their concerns, there's no question. But at the end of the day, they have playmakers, and you saw it. They finally had a good offensive output for the first time this year. This is real. This was the preseason team we were all excited about, you know, and everyone's like, oh, the Steelers, they're going to be great this year, and they came out and they've been flat offensively for the first 10 weeks of the season. This week was the first week we finally saw what we were excited about. Kenny Pickett played really well. He had 4 big-time throws, finally put up a good passing grade. And, you know, he was spreading the ball around. He was getting the ball to his playmakers, Freiermuth and Pickens. Finally, Kenny Pickett had a good game. And the question is going to become, was it Matt Canada just holding him back? Or was this just one outlier game? And that's going to be something interesting to see, guys.
I'll tell you, the only note I wrote for the Steelers is... Oh, sorry. So go ahead, Yehuda.
All right. Yeah, just real quick. I do think he was holding them back. I know it was the Browns defense last week, and they're much better than the Bengals, because the Bengals was the perfect cure for an ailing offense. They're like one of the worst run defenses in the game. They're 26th in DVOA. Their safeties, like, they have 2 safeties who are ranked in like the bottom 10. Like, you can pass on them. You can run on them. You can pass on them. They're not very good. But in the Browns game, somebody put together a cut of Kenny Pickett's throws over 10 yards, and it was like,
I saw that. Seconds. I saw that. That was hilarious.
Dude did not trust him. And every single thing is outside the numbers. Like, they literally said, okay, the middle of the field does not exist. I'm only allowed to throw between these 10 yards on these 2 sides. Like, that dude was literally running a middle school offense. And while I don't think Kenny Pickett is very good, he's still like, he's capable, and that dude Matt Canada was just so bad. And so good for them that they got their offense cooking a little bit with the yards, but they still had trouble in the red zone. So we'll see what happens when they face, you know, a tougher defense, because Bengals is a little bit of an easy matchup.
My notes for the Steelers, I wrote, unleash the peas. Pickens, Pickett,
Pat.
Just unleash them. All right? It's coming. We should be worried in our division.
And Pat. And our Pat division. Firemuth.
And Pat Firemuth. And Puzzin, pick up balls.
Dante Puzzin, pick up balls.
Dante Puzzin, just pick up balls. Ravens, beware. I mean, I know you're ahead of the division now, but the Steelers are coming for you.
No, the reality is that the Steelers have an extremely cupcake schedule.
The Steelers are an organization, Rocky. That's an organization that's never they never going to allow themselves to just be bad. There's certain teams like that. The Packers are always going to be the same way, and even the teams like the 49ers, they allow themselves for a couple years over a few years span to be not great, but there's certain teams that are always going to be like back in there.
Yeah, I'm with the
always figuring it out.
Agreed. The Steelers organization always finds a way to, and they're going to have a winning record again, most likely this year. But the crazy thing is, I mean, you're looking at the Steelers. They have two home games the next 2 weeks against the Cardinals and the Patriots. Now, okay, let me just preface by saying this. Kyler Murray makes the Cardinals a lot more difficult to beat than they were before that. Of course, Kyler's a very solid quarterback in this league. He can be very difficult. That dual threat can be very difficult to stop. So, obviously, it's a whole different ballgame. But you're looking at the Steelers with the Cardinals and the Patriots, two teams with horrible, just not having great years at all. Two teams will have 2 or 3 wins at home. The Steelers could easily be 9-4. 9-4 in 2 weeks, guys. I mean, it's just nuts. And so, yes, the Steelers organization always finds a way to make sure that they're in position to win games. They've somehow won games that they shouldn't have this year. But now they just they can't not make the playoffs for the rest of the season. It's impossible for them not to make it. and they have the Bengals with what's his name again? So, Browning. So, you know, there it is. I mean, that's it, guys. Anyway, all right, guys, that'll wrap it up. 5 takeaways, week 12. Good to see you guys. Good to see everyone back. And we'll talk to you next time.
Yashikayach.